morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on the morning of April 7, 2011. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. Now, we also have another number, which is direct, and if you're on a cell phone, it wouldn't make any difference. And this is the one that shows up on Blog Talk Radio, and that's 646-652-4620. I repeat, 646-652-4620. Of course, we welcome your comments anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net. In his newsletters, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Also, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Liberty Talk Radio is now available via iTunes and is now through via Twitter, believe it or not. Don't ask me how. I didn't set it up. Though they set it up for your listening convenience. Well, good morning, everyone. I listened to a audio. First of all, let me say that this will probably be a short broadcast. My voice is not back. I have some of it back, and I'm afraid by within a half hour, if no one calls in and takes up a lot of time, I'm going to lose it altogether. So I want you to know that. So this probably will not be a long broadcast. Hopefully, I can stretch it out to a half hour. I was listening to a podcast, or audiocast, I guess, by Andy Sutton, Making Sense of the Financial World. Now, folks, I really want you to seriously consider subscribing to Andy Sutton's newsletters, because what he does, he takes economic issues and puts them into plain language that people like you and I can understand, because he's an economist, and he puts the pieces together. And every time I listen to him, I go, aha, now I understand. It is important that we all understand. Now, there are a lot of good newsletters. I personally think that Andy's is the best because it's plain, simple, it's not cluttered, and he talks about the main points. For example, the job situation. And to truly understand, when they come up with a job figure, they come up with a number and everybody's happy or they're sad or they're somewhere in between, he breaks it down and says, here's a situation. And it makes you feel like you are in control. So please go to sutton-associates.net. And subscribe. He has a free subscription service and he has a paid subscription service. I do recommend the paid subscription service because I firmly believe we should support the people who are supporting us. We are one community. We're not very large compared to the entire population, but we need to stick together and we need to learn together. Okay, thank you very much for listening to that little diatribe on that, but I sincerely mean that. I have a few talking points here. And here's one that really, really got to me. It's called, We've Become a Nation of Takers, Not Makers. Now, this is by Stephen Moore, Wall Street Journal. A phenomenal article. Just absolutely, April 1st, Wall Street Journal, Stephen Moore. And he says, today in America, there are nearly twice as many people working for the government, 22.5 million, than in all manufacturing, 11.5 million. This is almost the exact reversal of the situation in 1960, when there were 15 million workers in manufacturing, 8.7 collecting paychecks from the government. Now, If we're trying to understand our world and why things aren't right, or they're not going well, or why, you know, why we have such large deficits, folks, you need to understand that. You need to know that. You have to understand it. It's very easy to understand. You need to know that. There are certain things you need to know, and then there are certain things you need to understand. The understanding stuff we're going to talk about in a minute. He goes on, he says, more Americans work for the government than work in construction, farming, fishing, forestry, manufacturing, mining, and utilities combined. We have moved decisively from a nation of makers to a nation of takers. Nearly half of the $2.2 trillion cost of state and local governments is $1 trillion a year tab for pay and benefits of state and local employees. Is it any wonder that so many states and cities cannot pay their bills? I mean, folks, please understand that. Absorb that. Understand that. Every state in America today, except for two, Indiana and Wisconsin, has more government workers on the payroll than people manufacturing industrial goods. Now, here's interesting. Indiana and Wisconsin, and people are rioting there because they're afraid they're going to lose their union status as employees, and we talked about that last time. In the not-so-golden state now, there has been an incredible 2.4 million government employees, twice as many people as working in manufacturing. He goes on to say, and I'm just taking bits and pieces, by the way, folks. It's not a very long article. Yeah, the leaders in government hiring are, oh, the leaders in government now are now Wyoming and New Mexico. I guess Wyoming's going to catch up, which have hired more than six government workers for every manufacturing worker. Now, folks, you want to know why manufacturing is going overseas. I mean, we will not produce things. Well, we can produce things more economically using technology, robotics and whatever. You know? And then those jobs that are available in manufacturing, people don't want to do. And then when the government, understand this, and then when the government says you have to pay at least, was it $7.35 an hour? And the company says, well, but I can pay $1.50 an hour overseas, the government, the job goes overseas. Who is to blame? Understanding our world, right? Just making sense of this world. If you were going to be in a competitive marketplace, where would you have your goods manufactured? In a plant that pays a minimum of $7.35 or minimum of, let's say, $1 an hour? I mean, you're in a competitive marketplace. That's exactly what you would do. You would go to the dollar an hour. So what I am suggesting, I'm suggesting strongly, that the main reason why our jobs go overseas is because of government intervention. Now, I hear all the screams already. Oh, you want us to work for a dollar an hour? You're so mean, whipping people to death. No, because if we didn't have this guaranteed wage, the cost of to the manufacturer would be much lower. It wouldn't be $7.35 an hour. It would be much lower. I don't know what it would be. It may be $2, $3 an hour. But at that point, these jobs would be here and not over there, number one. Number two, the cost of everything would be exponentially lower. So a loaf of bread, whatever it is, the good, instead of being $2.79, you know, would be $1.29 or whatever the case may be. So everything would be adjusted downward. Yes, people would be making less money. Things would cost a lot less. Now, one reason why we feel like we are rich, we still have money, is because our jobs have gone overseas. We are borrowing money to stay, to keep ourselves whole the way we are now, and we're getting inexpensive goods from overseas. But see, time is running out, folks. I want you to understand, if you want to make sense of this world, you have to understand time is running out. You can only do that so long. You can only borrow so long, and then you can only import so long to pay with borrowed money when people don't have jobs here. You understand? That's making sense of this world. And that's what's happening. And who's at fault? Not the manufacturer. If I was a manufacturer and I had to pay $10 an hour and I went overseas, it was $1 an hour, if I want to stay in business, I have to go and bring it overseas. Now, I say, well, I want to pay. Now, what if a manufacturer says, all right, I'm going to pay $1 an hour? Listen to the logic. I'm going to pay $1 an hour. I manufacture doohickeys. And Doohickey Plant of America, we pay $1 an hour. How many people would show up? Well, probably no one. But maybe a couple people would show up. Say, look, I'll even work for $1 an hour. But if they prove themselves to be productive, very productive, they may make more than a dollar an hour. But the plant still can't operate because they don't have enough people. So they have to increase it. And they have to increase it to a point where people come back to work. Now, if people will only come back to work at $10 an hour, then the decision has to be made whether or not you want to be uncompetitive and go out of business, but keep the manufacturing plant here for the next 6 months or a year, but you're going to close it down because you're going to go out of business, or you go overseas. You see, when the government interferes with that natural process, a very messy, very destructive process, you know, in the free marketplace, then we lose. We all lose, folks. Everyone loses. Let me go on with this article. It says, Iowa and Nebraska are farm states, for example, but in those states, there are at least five times more government workers than farmers. West Virginia is a mining capital of the world, and yet it has three times more government employees than miners. More and more of our top minds want to work for the government. This is dangerous, folks. And my son did this, by the way. He's got a chemical engineering degree, and then he got his master's in business administration, and he works for the Denver Water Works. I mean, it's a quasi-governmental thing. Why? Because in recent years, only government agencies have been hiring, and because the offer of near-lifetime security is highly valued in these times of economic turbulence. When a 23-year-old aren't willing to take career risk, we have a real problem on our hands. There is a core problem, folks. That's trying to make sense of this world. You have to understand what's going on. You can't blame manufacturing. You can't blame this. You have to blame government intrusion into the marketplace. And it says here, these produce far more output per worker than the... I underlined something that says the employment trends described here are explained in part by hugely beneficial productivity improvements in such traditional industries as farming, manufacturing, financial. Oh, that's what I was saying before. There's been better output, you know, by technology, you know. But I go on. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. Where are the productivity gains in government? Now, here's the key. Here's important. They say, well, you know, we've had tremendous productivity gains to the point where it's not even economical to hire people because we use robotics, for example. I went to a brick plant. I saw robotics make bricks. Scary. I mean, they look like people, gigantic things. They're like 40 feet high, unbelievable things, machines. And I should say 40 feet high, probably about 20, 30 feet high. And displaced a tremendous number of people. But, I mean, repetitious work. And the thing is that the factory that made the robotics used robotics. You see my point? It says, where are the productivity gains in government? And it's so fascinating. You have to understand this, folks. This, in order to make sense of this world, you have to understand this. He says, he said, from 1970 to 2002, school spending per pupil adjusted for inflation doubled, while standardized achievement test scores were flat. School employment doubled per student. That is what economists call negative productivity. So here you have a government agency that we keep on funding more and more and more. And it goes on to say, this is so critical, is that he says that what we do is that whenever government fails, we then reward it. He says, we gauge school performance, listen to this carefully, we gauge student performance not by outputs, but by inputs. We spend more money, we're doing better in school. We spend less money, we're not doing as well in school. It's the exact opposite of what happens in the marketplace. If education had undergone the same productivity revolution that manufacturing has, we would have half as many educators, smaller school budgets, and a higher graduation rate and test scores. Now, folks, this is the microcosm of that spells out everything else. And if you want to make sense of our world, this is how you do it. You try to understand where the core problems are. Public sector employees' costs are smothered by the unions. Cities could save 20 to 40% of the cost of many services. Public employees maintain that they are underpaid relative to equally qualified private sector workers, yet they are deathly afraid of competitive bidding for government services. Think about that. I mean, the dichotomy. And yet, the government is so afraid of correcting its ways because it would increase unemployment, at least in the short term. And that would exasperate the problem we have now. So the government creates a problem that it can't get itself out of. It just digs itself deeper and makes the problem worse. That is making sense of this world. Folks, you have to understand that. Let's stop just for station identification just for a second because I have to take a swig from my throat. Thank you.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio.
All right, thank you, folks. I just took a swig of that, some hot tea. That helped my voice a little bit. Now, you know, we don't understand. We say, well, people have asked the question, well, why shouldn't we be in Libya? It's a humanitarian mission, for example. And, oh, because Gaddafi. So, but, you know, if, unfortunately, folks, and I know this sounds elitist, unfortunately, we are one of those ignorant nations in the world. Oh, I have something else. I want to interject this. This blew my mind. I forgot the organization name. I don't have the article in front of me. With a list, there's a freedom index of all the countries in the world. And, you know, countries like Zimbabwe, or in the bottom, you know. And, you know, countries that, you know, relatively free, like Germany and, you know, Japan, they're on the top, you know. And they have categories now. They have, like, you know, free countries, nearly free, not so free, and, you know, not free at all, you know. And, of course, the United States used to be on the top of this list. We do not make the free list anymore. I just had to tell you that. We do not make the free list. We are considered a nearly free nation. Man, I mean, if that does not tell you something, if that does not tell you something, folks, because what do? We are so ignorant. We say, well, you know, we're the freest nation in the world. You know, this is freedom, freedom. No, sir, we're not. There are plenty of nations above us, you know. And guess who beats us out? Hong Kong. a territory of China. I love it. I think that's great. It is fantastic. This is how screwed up we are. Okay, that's trying to make sense of this world here. Here, so we are going there because of humanitarian reasons. When you think about it, you go, wait, Gaddafi's been in office for 41 years. Why didn't we do something 41 years ago? You know, say you also have to understand that we are an uncontested military power. There is no one today, or even in the short term future, that can rival us in the military field. We spend more money on the military than everybody else in the world combined. And, I mean, you know, like Russia has an army and navy and air force, but it pales in comparison. China is coming up, but it's insignificant compared to ours. I mean, if we want to do something and we back a country, there isn't anyone that's going to contest it. Why? Because we're so powerful. And that's why everyone hates us, because we go around bullying the world. Understand that. Because I want to get into the terrorism in a second. But before I do, so we get into this situation with Libya because, you know, we can't sit idly by why this man, but, you know, we have no idea. That's, first of all, if we listen to that, we're listening to garbage. It's not the truth. It's just not the truth. Oh, by the way, folks, I would love for you to call in toll free 888-773-4496. 888-773-4496. Oh, and people ask me, why do I do the 6:30 in the morning? Well, I do the 6:30 in the morning because in the morning, my mind is fresh. I mean, I It's clear. It's not cluttered with the millions of things that I do during the daytime. And then at nighttime, it's just, I have to resort everything out. It's very difficult. When I get up in the morning, this is the only thing I do. When I get up, I do it, and it's uncomplicated, and I find that my mind is clearer, and that's why I do it. And I know this is not the best time in the world, but it's best time for me to think, you know? After this, I can go and goof off all I want, and I don't have to think much, you know? And I can blow off the rest of the day. But do call in, 888-773-4496. Come on, I got 25 open lines here. And if you want to call in direct, 646-652-4620. We have a email address, comments@libertytalkradio.com. Please let me hear from you. I will make, if you want to be on our broadcast, I'll put you on the broadcast. You know, you can be my guest, and I'll read your email if you want me to, or make it a subject or a whole broadcast if you'd like me to. Thank you. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. So we talk about humanitarianism. I'm reading in the Urban Tulsan, which I think is one of the best newspapers in the world. And there's a section by Ted Rawls called Rant and Roll. It's not rock and roll, Rant and Roll. And there is a Lake Sarez in Eastern Pamir Mountains of Eastern Tajikistan, I can't pronounce that properly, in the Central Asia region. You know, it's near Uzbekistan. And briefly, in 1911, there was this gigantic earthquake which dammed that river. And the river has been rising, and of course it's been getting bigger and bigger because there's a dam there now. But it's a natural dam. No one did anything other than Mother Nature, you know, bingo. Now, it's gotten so big that the natural dam could no longer hold the water. Now, how do we know this? Well, all sorts of scientists from all over the world have been there. Excuse me. All over the world have been there. And they are, everyone's in full agreement that this dam is going to break very soon. I mean, the amount of pressure, the amount of rocks and stuff like that. And it was rising like just a few feet a year. Now it's rising 2 yards a year. 2 yards a year. And remember, the more it rises, the wider it gets. And that means the slower it should be rising. It's rising faster, right? And it's, once it starts tipping the top, it'll erode the top, and the dam is going to break. Or they anticipate it'll break before then. Now, they can't tell you the day, but they can say it's going to happen really soon. Now, here's the problem. Right? When that dam breaks, it's not going to affect 25,000 people or 50. It's going to kill millions of people. Millions. Why hasn't anyone done anything about it? Because it uses specialized equipment. It's very expensive. And this is one of the poorest parts of the world. And they have no money. And there are towns downriver, not only in Tajikistan, but also in Uzbekistan and all those other countries. It'll affect two or three other countries and kill millions of people when that dam breaks. I mean, towns will be 50 feet underwater. It'll be unbelievable. It'll be a catastrophe of unknown of proportions. So when our president gets up there and says, "Oh, we have this humanitarian thing," you know, you have to understand the man lies. He just outright lies. He tells us things to justify what they want to do. Now, this area of Central Asia, right, has no oil and has no gas. Now, you know, there comes a time in absolutely every crime where the circumstantial evidence is so incredibly strong that they convict the person. And sometimes will even convict the person to death. The circumstantial evidence is so strong. Our circumstantial evidence against our government for interfering only with this gas and oil is so incredibly compelling that we should be convicted. We can be convicted if we were on trial without a picture. You see what I mean? Without even being there, we can be convicted. The circumstantial evidence is so strong. So when he says that, it's garbage. If you want to make sense of this world, do not listen to your politicians at all. Now, here's another thing. When I was in college, I'm going to go off on a tangent now. When I was in college, there was a debate that raged. I never understood why this debate took place. It never made any sense to me. Of whether or not, you know, if you were Jewish, whether or not that was a religion or was it a nationality or something like that. And I just thought to myself, it's a religion, I guess, you know, it's nationality because you've got Russian Jews and German Jews and French Jews. I said, you know, you can be French, born in France and be Pierre Fauchois, whatever, you know, and be Jewish, you know. It's a religion, you know. Well, they argued it was, they argued both sides. I want you to understand this, that trying to make sense of our world is very difficult because here in the United States, and I have a point here to make, but let me, before I make the point, let me say this. I deny no one their religion. I'm not against any religion. I'm against the principle. There's always a principle involved, and I may be against that principle. Just like if you believe have a religion, and you believe if someone wears a blue shirt, they should be burnt at the stake, I'm not against the religion. I'm just saying, no, I'm against the fact that you're burning somebody at the stake. You understand what I mean? So don't, you know, for wearing a blue shirt. That's not right. You know, that's the principle. That's first-degree murder. I know it's a silly example, but understand that I'm not against any religion. Now, I don't care what you believe in. I don't care. You know, I deny no one, absolutely no one, you know, their religion. Right? Understand that. Right. And folks, call in. Come on. It's almost over. 888-773-4496. I may go for 45 minutes. Who knows? But here in the United States, one thing that we relish is the fact that we have a separation of church and state. You know, that I can be a Jehovah's Witness, I can be a Muslim, I can be a Orthodox Jew, or a host. There's 10,000 religions. You name the 10,000. I can be any one of those 10,000 religions here, and I'm not going to be persecuted. I may not be liked by my neighbors, you know, but I mean, that's a personal thing, you know. But I can be any Christian, but any Christian. Doesn't have to be one type of Christian. And we came here. I mean, the founding fathers came, most of them from England, and they were in a state where, you have to believe one religion only, or else you're in trouble. So we came here and said, hey, you know, none of that garbage, you know, church, you can have any religion you want, the state is separate, there's no interference. Now, you say, why the hell am I bringing this thing up, you know? Because trying to make sense of this world, listen to this carefully, you have to understand what the problem is that here is a country that values and prizes that separation of church and state. And what country do we support that is a questionable support by every other nation in the world? And it's Israel. Israel is not so much a nation, it's a religious nation. It's not a nationality. It's a religious state. You can't go to Israel and say, well, I'm going to run for president in Israel, and, you know, I'm a Bokenist or whatever. You named it, I made that up, you know. You know, you can't. You got to be, and you, if you want to be a citizen there, you have to prove yourself to be Orthodox, a Jewish. You have to have your mother and father have to be Jewish. I mean, there's all sorts of very, very stringent, arcane regulations as to how you can become, you know, a citizen of Israel. And it all ties in to the Jewish religion. So here we have a country that believes, it's one of its core beliefs is the separation of church and state. It's in our Constitution. And yet, we are one of the few people giving billions of dollars a year to a country that's based on religion alone. And you can't be in that country unless you're a Jewish. Now, it makes no sense. And then when you hear politicians like Joe Biden, who I think is one of the most dangerous men in America, not as dangerous as Obama, but still very dangerous. And he says, and he said this more than one occasion, we have a special relationship with Israel. What do you mean? We should have no relationship with Israel. You know, the British carved out land that belonged to the Palestinians, came to the Jewish people because they're the promised land, they're the chosen people, whatever, you know. You know, I tell my wife I'm chosen too, you know, for different reasons. You know? And we want to know why there's a fight there. white people, there's always arguing. And then we give them money. We give Israel money, a religious state that we don't believe in, by the way. We don't believe in a religious state, any religious state, you know. We give them money, right? And what do they use that money for? For military, you know, to persecute the poor Palestinians. You know, and we want to know why they're a terrorist. Well, you want to make sense of your world? That's the reason why. You know, we condemn countries like Iran, you know, because they were Islamic. But why aren't we condemning a nation like Israel that's Jewish? Again, I have nothing against the Islamic religion. I have nothing against the Jewish religion. Nothing. I'm talking about the principle of it. I don't want anyone to get angry. Oh, you know, it's talking about my religion. No, I'm not. I'm not talking about the religion at all. Get it out of your head. I'm talking about the principle behind it. Now, if we believe that every state, if the United States was believe that every state should have its own religion and practice, and it should be only this religion, and we support it, well, that makes sense, you know. I don't agree with it, but it makes sense. Let's stop for station identification once again. I got to get a swig. Thank you.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host for Liberty Talk Radio. Our call-in number this morning, we're talking about what making sense of this world. I hope we're doing a good job of that. We haven't had any call-ins this morning. I'm very, very distressed about that. Our call-in number is 888, toll-free, folks. Come on, 888-773-4496. Our 888-773-4496. Our direct line is 646-652-4620. And, of course, you can send us your comments anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I'd love to hear from you. Now, so understand, folks, we're talking about religious states, non-religious states, and who supports whom. So here we have this jambalaya of thinking, you know, where we have a separation of church and state country supporting a country that believes in only one religion, that's suppressing other people of other religions. And folks, that's wrong. And if you want to know why, trying to make sense of our world, if you want to know why we have problems with people, such we call them terrorists, the reason why is because these people have had it. Now, how can they fight back? They have nothing. I mean, we are behemoth. We're so big. We're like the in Star Wars, the Death Star. You know, we're just gigantic. You know, we have. No one could fight us on, you know, militarily. No one can come close to us. So what do? They start throwing sticks and stones, the only thing that they have. And then we call them terrorists. They say, why are they doing that? Well, you know, if we had a half a brain cell working, we would know exactly why. In fact, if we truly understood the makeup of the world and saw how we were intruding in other countries, these people that we call terrorists, we would reclassify as patriots. They want us the hell out of their country. They want to rule themselves. I know that sounds crazy. It sounds like I don't support my troops and all that stupid garbage. That's another thing. Support your troops. What the hell is that supposed to mean? I support my troops. I want them all home with their families, working productively, having a good life. That's how you support your troops. You don't send them over there to get killed for no reason and you can't tell them why. And parents do that. Oh, I'm so proud of my son. He lost his feet, you know, in Iraq. You're proud. You know, you're an idiot. You're not proud. You should be bitter. You should be mad. You should have grabbed him by the ear before he went. Where are you going? You're going to the army? What, are you an idiot? What for? But, you know, we say, oh, he's going there, you know, to protect our freedom. You know, he's going to sacrifice for us. Bull. All bull. All bull. Understand that. It's all bull. All right. One of the last things I want to talk about. Oh, I just make a comment. And this really should hit home. Do you realize that I think it was in March that we spent like four times more than our revenues? Think about that. Could you imagine on your budget if you made your net income after taxes was like $4,000 and you spent $16,000? Would you be in trouble? I mean, think about it. It's kind of scary. That's what we did in March. This is where we're going, folks. Exactly what I said in the beginning. You know, we just keep on borrowing money, bringing cheap goods in from overseas, and we lose our jobs to other people. You know, we're using robots because it's cheaper than government-mandated salaries, and bingo, we're broke. And we're going to crash big time, folks. And that's why you've got to listen to Andy Sutton. Andy Sutton makes sense of this world. He makes sense of this world for me. So I know what to do. I know how to prepare. Knowledge is power. And that's going to be powerful for me. So I can empower myself. And people like Andy Sutton should be part of your world. But yeah, we're fighting four wars. I shouldn't call them wars. That's not fair. I hate that term. I hate that term war. We are forcibly occupying four nations. We're trying to occupy four nations. And you know who they are? They're Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan now, and even Libya. You know, now, all four places just happen to have a hell of a lot of oil. It just happened, just by coincidence, you know. Now, that place in Central Asia that's going to, millions of people going to die, we don't have one person. Screw them. We don't need them. They have no gas and oil. Circumstantial evidence. We're guilty, very guilty. But, you know, we're fighting these four wars. And guess what? We're not paying for them. We're borrowing money from other countries. Other countries are financing the war for us. I want you to think about that. Other countries are financing our wars. Now, if any other time in history, you say, it's crazy, nuts, could never do that. No country would ever do that. There's going to be a point where we're going to stop financing these wars. You know, isn't it amazing how... This was before Vietnam, in Korea, in World War II, we had to sacrifice. Even in Korea, we had to sacrifice. Because if we didn't sacrifice, we didn't have the money to wage, to be involved in that war. Korea is another occupation that we should never have been involved in. But we had to at least sacrifice at home. There's certain things you couldn't buy because it was for the war effort. World War II, you had nothing. Everything was for the war effort. And today, we have everything, plus four engagements, or illegal engagements overseas, because we're borrowing the money. Folks, we are in big trouble. Now, the root of all of this, and there's certain other things I want to talk about, but I don't have time. The root of all this is our education system. Now, we talked about the education system in the beginning, about how we spend more money in education, but it's not... We don't measure education results by output. We measure it by input. We take children, and I want you to really absorb this, folks. We take kids of all shapes and sizes, of all different backgrounds, all different maturities. I mean, no two kids are even close to being alike. But provided that they're the same age. We take these kids, I mean, understand that young children are very, very curious. They, you know, why is the sky blue? Why this? Why that? Why? They want to learn. We put them in a box called a classroom. And these kids couldn't be further apart in learning ability, in interest, in you name it. But we put them in one box, 30, 35 kids in a box in a room. And we have them not think, but memorize a lot of crap, much of which doesn't make sense. Much of it is so illogical, when they get older, they cannot make sense of their world. See what I mean? You see where I'm coming full circle? We start in the education system because that's the way the government wants it. The government wants it that way because they don't want anyone to think. They want everyone to memorize. They teach all sorts of garbage, comic book history, and it's garbage. And then when they graduate, they really don't know anything. Our high school graduates are some of the most ignorant kids in the world after high school graduates. and only a small percentage, actually, in the large cities, only 51% of the kids graduate. Only 51% in the large cities. And I can say, you know, including Tulsa, which is not a large city, but in the major cities, I should say. The major cities in the United States, only 50, graduation rate is 51%. About half of the kids don't even get to graduate. And what we do is we destroy their minds. So when we have a population that is, even the graduates don't learn to think. They learn to memorize and watch TV and DVDs and stuff like that. And this is what they absorb. And this is what they turn out. I mean, there are people in my family who are bright. I mean, PhDs, master's degrees, and they don't think. They have no ability to think. It's scary. You think, these people are supposed to be so smart. Well, how come they can't see this? They're very prejudiced about everything, and they cannot think. And when you think of this, education system is so illogical. We should let these kids learn on their own. Schools and the government are not in charge of education. We can dismantle the entire Department of Education, not only the department itself, but all the schools that are necessary. Kids will learn on their own. And when a kid has a propensity to something, if a kid wants to do something, let's just say a kid wants to be a carpenter. Well, be a carpenter, you have to know how to read, right? I mean, you cannot read. I mean, you got blueprints and stuff like that. You have to know mathematics. You're going to have to be able to speak. You're going to have to be able to write. In other words, reading, write, arithmetic. Remember the old things, three R's, reading, write, arithmetic? And if you knew those three, you can use that as a basis to be anyone you wanted to be in a free nation. And that's why people came here. Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I do hope in these past 45 minutes I helped make sense of this world. If I did, or even if I did not, I would love to hear from you. Please send me your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Please do that. Take out a second. I know we're all busy and we got more crap on our computers than we know what to do with. But if you can tell me whether or not I helped making sense of this world, I would appreciate it. Okay? And my voice is just about ready. Just about ready to give out. And with that, I'm going to say good morning to you. Unfortunately, we had no call-ins, but I hope you enjoy the program. Most people listen to it on the archives, and I do. Those people live in the archives, please send me your email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Okay, with that, we'll close our show. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at area code 918-749-7711. Call them for your hearing needs. You'll be glad you're good. You did. I'm sorry. Folks, you can remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle, which I'm going to be doing in a few minutes, by the way. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. They control the ride in your every move. Ron Paul has a sign in his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, and next time we're going to have a guest. Be very interesting from one of the parties that's coming up that's similar to a libertarian party. We're going to interview them and see how they stack up to libertarians. And folks, you know, I don't think I'm so much a libertarian as I am an anarchist, but we'll talk about that next time. Okay, till next time, stay well, stay tuned.